Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, April the 5th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us this new day, that we can lift our hearts to you and thank you for all that you continue to show us and prepare us for the time to come. We ask that you would continue to give us strength and faith necessary, that we might share that which we have with others, so that your name might go forward and the opportunity to serve you might be always made available to those who know you not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With all that has been happening around us, I thought I would share a couple of articles with you today. The first one is found in the Hill website. The Hill website. It was published on the 30th of March. And the writer of that article is John Kruzel, K-R-U-Z-E-L. The title of the article is Florida Megachurch Pastor Arrested for Holding Services Despite Health Order. The title again, Florida Megachurch Pastor Arrested for Holding Services Despite Health Order. Here's the article. A Florida pastor was arrested on Monday for holding services at Tampa Megachurch in violation of a public health order prohibiting large gatherings to stem the spread of the coronavirus. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown was charged with misdemeanor counts of unlawful assembly and violation of the public health rules, according to Fox 13, Tampa Bay's local affiliate. Howard Brown's apprehension came after he held two Sunday services with up to 500 attendees, even offering bus service to the church. His reckless disregard for human life put hundreds of people in their congregation and thousands of residents who may interact with them this week in danger, said Hillsborough County Sheriff Clad Corister, who issued an arrest warrant earlier Monday. Despite social distancing measures to curb person-to-person transmission of the coronavirus, the River at Tampa's Bay Church announced earlier this month that it intended to remain open to comfort those in need, even as the number of confirmed coronavirus cases rose across the country. In a time of national crisis, we expect certain institutions to be open and certain people to be on duty. We expect hospitals to have their doors open 24/7 to receive and treat patients. We expect our police and firefighters to be ready and available to rescue and to help and to keep the peace. The church is another one of those essential services. It is a place where people turn for help and for comfort in a climate of fear and uncertainty, the church said in a statement. The River of Tampa Bay Church was one of several regional churches that drew hundreds of worshipers recently, despite bans on public gatherings amid the coronavirus pandemic. Earlier in March, a Louisiana church held a service attended by over 300 people, despite a ban on gatherings of more than 50 people by Governor John Edwards. The Reverend Tony Spell of Life Tabernacle Church in East Baton Rouge Parish said at the time that the virus was not a concern. President Trump last week said during a Fox News town hall in the White House that he would love to have the country opened up and just rearing to go by Easter, describing his April 12 target date as a beautiful timeline and adding that he hoped to see packed pews. But Trump reversed his course on Sunday, announcing the White House would keep its guidelines for social distancing in place through the end of April to try to blunt the spread of the coronavirus. So that's one article, and you'll find that in The Hill, published on March the 30th, 2020. Second article, coming from the same place, is an article published in the Sun Herald, this one on April the 1st, 2020. The writer of that article is Tanisha Kenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y, and the title is Pastor charged with violating coronavirus order vows to keep Louisiana church open. The title of that article again, Pastor charged with violating coronavirus order vows to keep Louisiana church open. Here's that article. Undeterred by arrest, a Louisiana pastor says the doors of his church will remain open amid the coronavirus outbreak. Pastor Tony Spell head of Life Tabernacle Church in Central, carried on with a scheduled service Tuesday despite being issued a misdemeanor summons for ignoring a statewide order barring large congregations just hours earlier, police said. Authorities charged Spell with 6 counts of rule violations, 1 for each of the 6 services he held at his Central campus these last 2 weeks. Mr. Spell will have his day in court, where he will be held responsible for his reckless, irresponsible decisions that endangered the health of his congregation and our community, Central Police Chief Roger Coracon said in a statement Tuesday, accusing the pastor of putting the public at risk for his own self-promotion. Police said the summons is considered an arrest, although Spell wasn't taken into custody. The local pastor was also fingerprinted and read his constitutional rights, the advocate reported. The misdemeanor charges, which carry a maximum of 6 months in the parish jail and a $500 fine, have done little to keep Spell from tending to his flock of worshippers. Ahead of Tuesday night's service, he vowed to keep the church up and running despite explicit orders from Governor John Bel Edwards to avoid hosting large gatherings. Spell decried the directive as an attack on religion. "We will continue to have church," he said in a video posted on Facebook. "This is a government overreach. They're asking us as a government to stop practicing our freedom of religion. And we have a mandate from God to assemble and to gather together and to keep doing what we're doing." Speaking to CNN, the local pastor argued his religious services were no more of a risk than the hundreds of people still shopping at grocery stores. Spell is the second pastor to face charges for violating stringent orders from officials to help mitigate the spread of the novel coronavirus, which has infected more than 190,000 people across the United States. The latest number for Johns Hopkins University show. Louisiana has recorded more than 5,200 COVID-19 cases as of Wednesday morning and 239 deaths. In Florida, where about 6,700 residents have been diagnosed with the disease, Tampa pastor Rodney Howard Brown found himself in police custody Monday after hosting 2 Sunday services with hundreds of worshippers, the Miami Herald reports. And that's the article that we read at first. Jail records show he was booked on charges of unlawful assembly and violating of a public health emergency order before being released on a $500 bail. Still, Spell and Howard Brown aren't the only ones refusing to close their doors amid the public health crisis. Churches in Ohio, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and New York have continued to hold in-person services despite warnings about the coronavirus. Governor Edwards, who declared public health an emergency and issued a stay-at-home order for the state of Louisiana starting on March the 23rd, told the advocate he was disturbed by Spell's defiance and his willingness to put parishioners at risk by hosting the large services. "It's unfortunate that a leader would choose and make the conscious decision to violate what is a legal order, which is imperative to public health," he said, according to the newspaper. So those are 2 pastors. As a matter of fact, you notice the article makes the point that there are more than just 2 of them who are involved in that sort of disobedience of the order. Third article I'd like to share with you today is found in the Center for American Progress website. And they've taken a different view of it, but they've given us some more information on it. The title of this article, published on March the 27th, which was before both of those other articles we read, is entitled, "Religious Exemptions During the Coronavirus Pandemic Will Only Worsen the Crisis." The title again, "Religious Exemptions During the Coronavirus Pandemic Will Only Worsen the Crisis." As I said before, this one is found in the Center for American Progress, and it was posted on March the 27th, 2020. Listen to this. "Collective efforts to flatten the curve of COVID-19 through social distancing are critical to spreading out the rate of infection over time so that America's healthcare system is not overwhelmed. If we don't make substantial changes, both in spreading the disease over time and expanding capacity, we're going to run out of hospital beds," Harvard Global Health Institute Director Dr. Ashish Jha told told the New York Times. And in that instance, we will not be able to take care of critically ill people and people will die. However, at a time when it is crucial to respond thoughtfully and prudently to this pandemic, there is an alarming trend of government officials ignoring public health warnings and refusing to call on houses of worship to close, establishing religious exemptions in this case by freeing houses of worship from public health order compliance will only result in more cases of COVID-19 and greater numbers of death from the disease. Thankfully, many religious communities, which sit at the nexus of caring for people and being a focal point of community gatherings, are leading efforts to flatten the curve. A diverse group of religious organizations, including the National Association of Evangelicals, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and the newly established National Muslim Task Force on COVID-19, have called for suspending in-person services. Many religious organizations have found new and creative ways to gather for worship, pray together, and to continue community service, social service work. Faith community leaders deserve praise for their efforts to combat the coronavirus. They serve as trusted messengers who affect the daily lives of people of faith outside faith-specific spaces. While most faith communities are choosing to follow public health guidance, religious exceptions only encourage some religious entities and leaders to disregard or even openly challenge public health guidance. "We are not stopping anything," Pastor Rodney Howard Brown said to his River Tampa Bay church in Florida. "I've got news for you. This church will never close." In Ohio, Governor Mick DeWine implored ministers, priests, and rabbis to think about your congregation. But that didn't stop Solid Rock Church outside of Cincinnati from continuing to hold in-person services. Likewise, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Pastor Tony Spell of Liberty Tabernacle Church not only continued to hold services, but also told the Washington Post, "We feel we are being persecuted for the faith by being told to close our doors." And in New York City, some ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities continue to congregate and have seen a huge spike in coronavirus cases. Doubts about the seriousness of the coronavirus pandemic among many religious communities didn't arise organically, but rather were spurred by President Donald Trump, who downplayed the concern for many weeks and is now casting doubt on his own government's social distancing recommendations. Just this week, Trump said he would like to see packed churches all over the country on Easter, even as public health experts warn that such circumstances would be disastrous. Some of the president's top evangelical supporters have also cast doubt on the public health warnings. Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr. peddled conspiracy theories about the virus being a North Korean bioweapon on Fox News and refuses to close the campus of the university. Trump advisor Robert Jeffries speculated that the virus was a judgment from God, and Paula White, special advisor to the White House Faith and Opportunity Initiative, headlined an Evangelicals for Trump rally at Solid Rock Church in Ohio earlier this month. Ignoring public health warnings, both Jeffries and White dragged their feet on suspending in-person services. The United States, and indeed the entire world, is facing a critical public health emergency. Governments at all levels are taking drastic but necessary steps to ensure all individuals' safety. While orders from federal, state, and local authorities continue to evolve in response to this virus, there has been a series of actions aimed at flattening the curve of COVID-19 across the country. These include stay-at-home orders and bans on various sizes of gatherings. Several of these orders, however, specifically exempt houses of worship or other faith-based institutions, creating unnecessary risk. The following states have established religious exemptions to bans on gathering size and other stay-at-home orders. Pennsylvania, March the 19th, Pennsylvania exemptions for the operation of religious institutions from its orders for all non-life-sustaining businesses in Pennsylvania to close their physical locations. New York, March the 20th. New York includes under guidance on essential services, houses of worship, are not ordered closed. However, it is strongly recommended and no congregate services be held and social distance maintained. In New Jersey, on March the 21st, New Jersey ordered all residents to stay in their homes unless leaving the home for an educational, religious, or political reason. Delaware, on March the 22nd, Delaware designated places of worship as essential places of business, thereby exempting them from complying with an order to close. Louisiana, March the 22nd, Louisiana issued a stay-at-home ban for non-essential activities, exempting travel to and from places of worship. Ohio, March the 22nd, Ohio issued a stay-at-home order except for essential activities, which includes performing work or carrying out activities at religious entities. Massachusetts, March the 23rd, Massachusetts considers workers at places of worship to be providing an essential service, therefore exempting them from temporary closing. Michigan, March the 23rd, Michigan issued a stay-at-home ban for non-essential activities, exempting places of worship from penalty for violating the ban. New Mexico, on March the 23rd, New Mexico prohibits mass gatherings of more than 5 people, but exempts those congregated in a church, synagogue, mosque, or other places of worship. West Virginia, March the 23rd, West Virginia issues a stay-at-home order exempting travel to and from one's place of worship, and it considers religious institutions essential businesses. And Kansas, March the 24th. Kansas limited mass gatherings to no more than 10 people, but exempts religious gatherings as long as individuals can engage in appropriate social distancing. Now, if you do the count, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 states that we've got there who have these exemptions. Remember now, there are 50 states. And, of course, these 11, we'll see what happens. Now, the record has shown that some of these gatherings and some of these churches has ended up with some individuals who were present to have, been drawn into, have tested as positive for the COVID-19. Continuing the article, within the context of a public health emergency, the government can impose mandatory restrictions such as assembly bans and quarantines to stop the spread of a communicable disease. Restrictions that meet these requirements can include religious gatherings. Congregating not only potentially exposes the worshipers themselves, but also risks the lives and well-being of their entire families and communities. Federal and state laws require that government make every effort to avoid restricting religious freedom in the process. But there is no religious freedom claim that would supersede the compelling government interest in protecting public health during a pandemic. In the words of legal experts Robert Fretwell Wilson, Brian A. Smith, and Tanner Bean, given the extraordinary risk of transmission of the coronavirus, together with COVID-19's lethality, finding a compelling interest in limiting gatherings to 10 people or less, or making citizens shelter in place, seems fairly straightforward. As exemptions for critical infrastructure pile up, churches have a legitimate beef. When governments fail to apply burdens across the board, the argument that the government must restrict public gatherings for worship in the name of public health becomes less compelling. But the answer should be not to equalize up, giving everyone, including churches, exemptions. More carve-outs will gut the state's public health safeguards. Instead, we need to equalize down. In a pandemic, we need fewer exemptions, not more. A legal imposed assembly ban that exempts religious gatherings is not based on scientific evidence. Viruses do not discriminate, and neither should American public health response. There is no scientific basis to distinguish between religious gatherings and non-religious gatherings. Rather than find ways to impose fewer restrictions or exempt entire communities, there is every indication that more restrictions are needed across the United States to stop the spread of COVID-19. Make no mistake, Faith communities are among those most affected by this virus simply by virtue of the fact that they gather in person frequently. Indeed, in Washington, D.C., the first confirmed case of COVID-19 was an Episcopal priest, and the district's first COVID-19-related death was the passing of a Franciscan friar, John Sebastian Laird Hammond. The first person to pass away from COVID-19 in Baton Rouge was Reverend Leon Franklin, a Baptist minister. Oklahoma's first COVID-19 death was the passing of the Reverend Merle Dry, a Pentecostal pastor. And New Rochelle, New York, became the first containment zone in the United States after the Young Israel Synagogue was deemed the epicenter of an outbreak there. While in Italy, at least 60 priests reportedly died from COVID-19 over the course of 1 week. Too many faith leaders and community members have already become infected by or passed away because of COVID-19. Many of them lost their lives while in service to their communities. Some even sacrificed their own lives to save others. Prohibiting houses of worship from gathering in person is a necessary step to protect other faith leaders and community members, and indeed, everyone, from falling ill. Well, we shall end the article there, but you see what is happening, and you see the argument that is taking place. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Some of those who are keeping church are arguing that they have the right to do that. I wonder what they're going to say when the time comes that another organization is going to be ordered to not have church on the seventh day of the week. Are they going to agree that we have the right to do that? That we have the right to worship? That we have the right to embrace the Sabbath? Or will they be on the other side of that argument? We shall see. We shall surely see. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to show us the events that are taking place around us day by day, that we can be prepared for that which is to come. We pray for those, Lord, who have already been touched with COVID-19. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are at this very moment in bed or isolated because of what they are experiencing. We place them in your care, Lord. We ask that you would continue to be with them and give them the strength that is necessary to bear through. We ask that you would help us to get ready for what is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, April the 5th, 2020.